Hey, we're live. What's going on, people? Welcome to another episode of CTC Live on YouTube on a Tuesday night. Sorry that we're late. I fell asleep.
That's cool. I won't say nothing about you being late.
Who's watching? Who's got YouTube on?
I did. I just turned it off.
Lock that off, man. I'm joking. How are you guys?
Me and Femi was having
a good
chat.
We get rid of the black square, though.
Huh?
We get rid of the black square. I think that happens if we, like, turn off video. I'm just letting the black square know. If the black square turns off video, we can get rid of the black square.
Hey, black square gone.
Now it's like a picture of Ace.
Just random.
What are you talking about?
You can't see it, but we kind of
saw. Okay. All right, it doesn't matter. How are you, Ace?
I'm fine. How are you?
Not too bad. How's your week been? Let's get cracking. How's your week?
Nothing's happened this week. It's only okay. Wednesday. Today's Tuesday.
What?
Today's Tuesday.
Yeah. Are we allowed to talk about the birthday that happened?
Oh, yeah. My son celebrated his 12th birthday on Saturday. So I got a 12-year-old now. So salute to Isaiah. That was cool.
Can you tell me why you refused to let me video call him to say happy birthday?
Oh, I saw your video, Miss Cool. I was in the middle of something. I can't remember what was going on. Sorry about that, mate.
Ace, you know, sometimes you're the greatest. You know that.
You should have tried again. You should have tried again.
Ace is the greatest. All right.
What are you not saying? Have you not been buying cryptocurrency?
No.
Yeah.
I'm not smart enough.
Yeah, you are smart enough, Ace.
I'm not.
Yeah.
Damon, really, have you been buying crypto?
Yes.
Which ones have you bought?
Not a lot, but obviously Bitcoin, Ethereum or whatever it's called, Polkadot, Cardano.
So you're an expert, man. You're just out here.
XRP.
Yeah.
A couple.
You know Victor used to go on about XRP.
No, did he?
Yeah, Victor was on about XRP from early.
Really?
I'm not even kidding.
Nah, I don't remember.
Nah,
I don't remember.
He was going on about it from early.
The funny thing is, yeah, Montserrat was going on about it for time by XR, get on this thing, yeah. So imagine we're at dinner and he's stressing me out, like jump on this thing. So I'm like, all right, how do you do it? He's like, oh, you got to sign up, then you got to...
It's proper.
Showing your passport or driver's license. I said, brother, I'm trying to work out what starter I want to eat. And you're telling me I've got to start sending driver's license and stuff and all that. Anyway, long and short, I asked him to get it for me, innit? See, he's bought me, I gave him £150. So he bought me £150 worth. This was over a year ago. And you know when you get crypto, for the first couple of days, you're just on it, innit? Like, you know, is it gone up? Is it gone down? And it'll go up by £2, go down by £3, go up by £4, whatever else. Left it for a while. It dropped ridiculously. Something about a court case with Ripple or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's just dropped ridiculously.
Mm.
So I've said to him, yeah, what's happening with my P? He goes, yeah, it's long. It's just dropped to something like, I think it's about 30 quid.
Yeah.
You want it? So I said, nah. So he goes, well, he's dipped out and a couple other people dipped out. I said, well, I gave it knowing that I might lose it, innit? So I've just left it. So it is what it is.
We're not, Damon.
So when I jumped the whole thing and sorted out my account, I just said to him, oh, yeah, send me that P. He was like, bro, it's mad right now. But it hadn't jumped. See, it went up from £30 to, I think, about 190. So I'm like, yeah, that's cool. Bust me on that. Then they won one of the court cases that they're involved in.
Yeah,
and it went from sort of like 190 up to like 6-7 bills. I said, what?
I said, quickly.
No, it's still there. It's still there. It's still. It's fun. It's just. It's a long. It's a long game, isn't it? It's just that whole 5-year plan, 10-year plan, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean.
Let me. Have you got some?
I've got loads. You know me.
Oh man, so the family said loads.
My said I've got loads. You know me.
I've got loads.
The thing is, it's never too late to jump on it. That's the thing.
Let me before we start telling next man to jump on it. Yeah, can I give you my caveat?
Go for it.
What? Okay. Listen. Wait. Firstly, what kind of word is that you just used?
Caveat is like my little sideline. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. My caveat is I still don't really get cryptocurrency. And as far as I understand, it's none of it is regulated. All of it is based on speculation. And most countries are trying to work on their own cryptocurrency. The European Union, I know, is working on a cryptocurrency themselves. And I feel like it's the Wild West right now. And people are making a killing, but all of it is driven by speculation and people trying to be part of the gold rush. It's like the gold rush. But then at the same time, I think there's going to be a lot of losers. There's going to be massive losers. There's going to be there's been massive winners already. Like, do you get what I'm saying? I know people that someone tonight, I'm not even kidding you. Yeah. He says to me, he's trying to make a film. This is not anyone you guys know, by the way. He's trying to make a film and he's gone to me, oh, good old Dogcoin will fund the whole shoot. I goes, oh, I had this coin and I sold mine all last week. And he goes, I said to him, how much did you stake on it? And he said, £180,000.
Oh,
I think that's mad. But anyway, and he said it returned 90K profit. So there are winners and there are losers, but I don't think there's any science to it. I think people are a bit mad.
See, this is the thing, and this is the thing, I'm with you, Ace. Sorry, I'm with you, Femi, in regards to it does seem like the Wild Wild West. People have tried to break it down to me before. So, Ace, just to kind of make it simpler for you, So you've got all these different coins, and obviously you've heard of Bitcoin, Bitcoin is Coca-Cola. Guaranteed.
Wait, Damon. I tried to tell you not to buy stocks and shares. My name didn't want to buy stocks and shares.
No, that's different.
Risking their whole life on these cryptocurrencies.
No, because if you think about that podcast, I even said, you can't just tell a man to buy stocks and shares and not give a man a means to do it.
So no, I told you the apps to buy it on. I'm not going to tell you what shares to buy.
Why not? Why not share the knowledge?
The point is, ultimately, I'm not a financial advisor, and none of us are, by the way. So everyone listening to this, don't go and risk your whole, don't remortgage your house to buy crypto. but the point is, I just told you this is what man are doing right now. If you don't want to be part of it, go and do your own research and go and get your money. And this is the crypto thing, but carry on, David. Tell him about
And that's the thing, Ace. This is the thing, This is what people say. People say, I'm on this crypto thing. Do your research. Go make your money. You see that there? Do your research. Where? How? Who? You understand what I'm saying, Ace? So for me,
man are doing their research online. So you're saying to me that I should tell you what to put your money into. So when you lose your money, you come back to man and you're like, no, I lost my money.
Look, at the end of the day, if I say to Ace now, put £100 on XRP, I tell Ace, I've got a bag on XRP. It can go up, it can go down, but that's what I'm putting my trust in. You man are my brothers. I'm not going to tell you man to invest in something that I'm not investing in.
But not everyone on the podcast listening right now is our brother.
Absolutely. But I'm not telling any, I'm explaining something to you and Ace and the people that are listening. Okay. And I'm explaining how I got involved in it. Ace, I'm very sure. So Bitcoin is Coca-Cola. It's out there. It's not going anywhere. You understand?
Mm.
Then you will have another coin called, let's say, DNL's coin. DNL's is established, but it's not Coca-Cola. Then you will have another coin called Femi's Film. Is it Silver Streak, Femi? Your film company?
Pick anyone. Silver Street.
Yeah, go. Silver Street. And then there's, so there's, loads of different coins. So what people say when they say do their research is, let's say they research into Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola is established. It's all over the world. The likelihood of that disappearing is zero. Do you understand? D&L's, it's been about for about 20 years. It's established. The likelihood of that disappearing is slim. Femi's film company, just for argument's sake, it's been about for a year. The likelihood of that disappearing, you understand, is, you know, and then you look at who's backing that particular coin. So if you look at Femi's film company now, it'll be Femi and Cut the Chat that's backing that coin. You understand? Whereas you look at D&L's, it'll be like, let's say, Cut the Chat, Anthony Joshua, Getz, Lethal B. You understand what I'm saying? So you look at that and it's just like, okay, that seems... So what people do, but people will look at all of them and you can see which ones are going up and which ones are going down. It's like gambling. There's no dead cert.
Is it like gambling, yeah?
There's no dead cert.
You know what? It is gambling, is my point. It is gambling.
Okay, but you get my point. Yeah.
You know why I say it's gambling as well? Should you know why I say it's gambling? Because these currencies are not even real, bro.
Right. So this is the thing, Ace.
And then you start to have an... Wait, Damon, sorry. I'm so sorry to cut you. And then you start to have an existential crisis about money. You start to think to yourself, is money even real?
Wow.
The thing is, you see these whole Bitcoin things here? When I was told about them, somebody said, I was like, so do I get the coin? And I was like, nah. So I'm like, so what do I get? It's like, oh, well, you know, it's nothing. It's over there. So that's a bit of a head twister. Yeah. Now, right now, at this current time, if you were to invest into something like Bitcoin, unless you're investing hundreds of grand, you're not really going to make no money. Do you know what I mean? How Bitcoin has moved. But then Bitcoin, I think it's been, over like 10 years or something for me?
Listen. So, wait, man. Last year, yeah, when I started looking at Bitcoin, yeah, it was worth about 2 or 3 grand. Now, a single Bitcoin is worth about £39,000.
Wow.
Do you know how much I kicked myself? Like, because I was on it. I was on it last year. And then it went up to 8 grand. And I remember moaning to my friend saying, oh, it's up to 8 grand. I'm so like, I wish I did it when it was like 2, 3, 4 grand. And I still didn't buy it. And then I got into it much later than that. So it's a bit mad.
Hey, so let me break something down to you as well. Yeah, because this is what wasn't explained to me at the start and probably not explained to you properly. You see, when you hear these numbers, like 2 years ago, it was worth £8,000, but now it's worth £34,000 or £40,000. That doesn't mean that you need £30,000 to get involved. You understand? You can get involved with £10. All that £10 does is buy you a fraction of a coin. Do you understand? So when it goes up, your £10 goes up. And you can just buy more and more and more. You can buy £500 worth. You can buy a grand's worth. I know people that do a reoccurring payment. So every month out of their bank account, £100 buys some Bitcoin or whatever. Do you know what I mean? So that's the thing. And, you know, it's like as well. Imagine football. Yeah. Imagine the football league. So there's a table and you can look at the top. Do you understand? So it'd be Bitcoin, Ethereum, whatever. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Damn, so I love that you're explaining it, yeah? But you're not telling me, yeah? What underpins these coins?
Well, okay, look. So this is the thing, Ace. No, but you're right. But that's, I said that I was with you as well, Femi, with that. But this is the thing, Ace. You see, like, Bitcoin, yeah? You see, when you have companies like Tesla, see, like Elon Musk, right? See, when them and they invest in these coins, that's when people start taking it seriously. I think PayPal turned around and said that they're investing in it. So you see, like, Tesla's like, you can buy my cars with Bitcoin. That's when governments and banks start paying attention. Do you know what I mean? Because before things like that, it was like, yeah, what can I do with this? Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't walk into Louis Vuitton and say, yeah, I want to pay for all of that with Bitcoin. But what you can do is obviously you set it up with a bank account. So you put money from the bank account into it. You can take money from it back into your bank account. And that's how you spend the P.
Interest. That's deep.
So that's how you do it.
There you go. So we'll have like Bitcoin credit cards in the future.
But no, there's apps, cards. Yeah. And one of the apps that you buy all of this stuff on, they've got their own bank cards. They've got their own debit cards. Like, I've got one of them as well.
Crypto.com. You got a credit card from them?
No, just a debit card.
Did you?
Yeah.
Damon's knee deep in this thing, bro.
Man, said knee deep. No, man.
Ace, if I type in the chat here, does it come on the thing?
No, I don't think so. No. I don't know. I don't think so.
Let me try it.
Anyway.
Can we we have a guest that's waiting?
Shall we get her in now? Because she knows she knows that she's a fan. Oh yeah, come on.
It's, Femi, it's on the screen.
Femi, it's on the screen.
Is it on the YouTube screen?
It's on the, I don't know if it's on the YouTube screen.
It's not on the YouTube screen. It's not.
All right, Ace, let's get in the guest.
Because the truth is, all anybody really wants to hear is what Femi has to say about Noel Clark. So we'll wait until after we speak to our guest, because that's the juice, isn't it? Really, that's what everyone's waiting for, isn't it? Like, we want to know what Femi has to say. That's kind of
that's the juice.
So we'll get to that soon. There you go. All right. So who's the guest?
So the guest today, which is obviously part of Black Business Corner, is a young lady by the name of Paula Perry. If our super old school listeners think back. Paula Perry is the young lady that brought out that book, Black British History,
aye,
a few years ago. And we've had her on a live podcast before that we've done that. Where was it? In Covent Garden, Femi?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did a live podcast in Covent Garden?
What's the place in Covent Garden that we've done?
Where?
Hospital Club.
Hospital Club. Yeah.
You know, Hospital Club is closed because of the panoramic.
Yeah.
Panaman said, Panaman. Yes. Yes, Miss P. You're on mute. You're on mute.
Greetings, guys.
Hey, how are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you. How are you all?
Not good.
You say not good, please?
I said, we are good.
Oh, good, good, good.
Sorry, before you start, am I correct in saying that you are an award winning financial advisor?
I am.
Ace. Okay. Good evening, Miss P. How are you?
I'm blessed, thank you. A bit tired today because I've been in and out three schools today delivering, so I'm a bit tired, and I've got three schools and a yacht tomorrow.
Right. So when you say delivering, what are you talking about? Delivering what?
Apples? Oh, sorry. Yes. So I work on a personal development and violence reduction program called Aspire Higher. And we go into schools and deliver programs to young people.
Fantastic. 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 Yeah. Did you hear what we was talking about with this whole cryptocurrency?
I did. I was listening in.
Are we far off? Are we off the mark or what?
No, I like the conversation. I feel like what you were saying, I think you and Femi definitely, I think people... There's all different things that you need to get into or you could get into, but due diligence is important. So I think, you know, as Femi said, I believe, you know, as Femi said, you can tell someone about something, but I'm not going to tell you to buy that share. I like what you said, Damon. I'm going to say, I'm going in on this. I believe in this. This is why I believe in it. And everyone needs to make their own decisions. So, for example, you lot spoke about Bitcoin. I think I bought a piece of Bitcoin. So it wasn't a whole Bitcoin, about 5 years ago. So I was a bit sketchy about it because the digital currency, I was like, I'm not sure about it, but I still put some money in. I think I bought about £250 at the time, completely forgot about it. And then I don't know if you guys remember what there was a news story of a man who lost his password to his wallet and it was several millions. So that made me think, hold on a minute, I've got a bit of Bitcoin. I went and searched for how to get into my account, which had 12 word passwords. I had to go through one of my old journals and I found it. And then that £250 is now worth 3,200 and something now. And that's from then. So that's about 5 years ago that I done
that. Right. So sorry to cut you, Paula. So Ace, just another thing. Yeah. One of the good things about cryptocurrency.
Yes, man is trying to get you to invest.
No, I'm just saying, no, that is. You know what it is, Ace? I'm just. I said it again.
It's like the one of them seminars that people would come to.
Bro, I'm just trying to help, innit? I'm just trying to help because this is the thing, yeah. Certain people will sit there and say, "Nah, I will leave my money in the bank. My money's safe in the bank. £250 in the bank 5 years ago, that'll probably be like £255 now." Mm. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mm. So when I said it's the whole long game as well, you know, it's like the whole thing, which I'm sure Paul is going to go on to later, is like, make your money work for you, innit? Because all that's happening is the people in the banks are doing this exact same thing. They're just making, for your £100, they're making £300 and giving you £2. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So it's, so, you know, but we'll go back to Paula. So, you know.
No.
I just want to see you win, Ace. I see the T-shirt. You know, I see that there. I want to see you win, baby.
I appreciate you, player. Thank you very much, sir.
Come on.
He wants you to have more than melanin. He wants you to have money.
I appreciate that. So, Paula, do you feel like us as black people, we don't necessarily think financially minded enough?
Yeah. I think it's getting better.
Guys, can we stop this? That's a black British thing. I feel like Nigerians think about money a lot. I'm all sorry.
Right. Can you rephrase the question then?
Huh?
Would you like me to rephrase the question?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Okay, do you feel like black Brits are not financially minded enough, Paula?
Yes. I feel like we need to... I think it's getting better. I think we're a bit short-term or short-focused in our financial mindset. And I feel like there's a lot of work to be done in our financial mindset. And there's obviously different reasons for that, because some of us have not seen anyone doing it. Some of us have not. Some of us look at material things as being living it and not thinking long term. But I think that's kind of changing with people understanding different things around passive income, leaving legacy, businesses and things like that. It's changing. And that's a good thing. It is changing.
When do you think we should start teaching kids about money? I think because I feel like I would have benefited with some money lessons at a younger age. Yeah. At what age do you feel like we should start teaching our youth when to start investing and how to use their money and where to put their money? My kids
have stocks and shares.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do they know?
I let them pick. So my kids have got shares in EA Sports. Like they've made no money from that, boy. No, but it's fine. My kids have got shares in EA Sports and they've got shares in Roblox.
What?
Good.
Because these are things that they play. These are like their games. Like they were just like, oh yeah, and one of my kids has got a share in Disney.
Well, did you explain to them what stocks and shares are? And
I just said you own a share of the company. Like, what are your favorite companies that you think are you invest a lot of your time and energy into? And the older one picked EA Sports because he was like, oh, that's at the start of all these games, and he's gonna invest in that. So that share has never been in profit. Like, it's just always been in a red. And then I told him, oh my gosh, look, Roblox is floating on the stock exchange. And do you want to buy shares in Roblox? Because you guys play Roblox all the time. And they were like, yeah. Again, that's been in the red, but not madly. Like, I feel like, you know, you just sit on it. And then it'll be interesting for them to see, like, when the company, like, does come out of the red and how much profits they make. Whereas one of them's got a share in Disney because he likes all them Disney films. And that share's always been in a green. So it's good. It's good for them to learn about it.
Yeah, man. I think, it's important. I feel like, there's some, obviously, like, you don't learn that in school. So it has to come from the parents as well.
Yeah. I do financial management in schools. And most of the children are like, oh, miss, why don't we learn this in schools? Mm. And I feel like, back to your question, Ace, I think we should start teaching children about financial management as a minute they can say, can I want you know, and most of these children, most children know how to use an iPad from the minute they're born these days. So we could start introducing financial management principles from a young age. So for example, shopping, most of us have a budget, especially for the, you know, use for the kids on the things that they like to use. So how about handing over that budget to the kids to say, what do you want to pick out in the shopping market today? Sometimes you may remove some of the money so that they have to choose between A and B. Sometimes they're really good and you increase it, so they've got additional. That will start teaching them about budgeting skills from an early age. Children get money all the time for birthday, Christmas, spending money, school money. They can start getting into the principle of saving 10% of their income. So there's little things that you can start introducing from an early age of children so they get into the mindset of money management, and then you build on to like what Femi's doing with his children and introducing them into investments and things like that as well. But first you have to have the foundation right before you can start moving into the investments.
I think you're both definitely right, you know, with the whole parenting thing, because as Black British children, we all went through that, being given money for birthdays and Christmas, and our parents telling us, I'm going to hold that for you. Yeah. Paula, you know my mum directly. She's got pee for me. I need you to go get that. Yeah. There's years of, yeah, I'll put that down. Yeah, I need you to get that for me, pee. Thank you very much. But no, I like that. I like that idea, you know. And, yeah, just getting them to kind of like, because I was talking about this the other day about being a child and going shopping and wanting cereal, but every week there was a new cereal on the TV and I wanted a different cereal and a different cereal. And I remember as a child, it just didn't make no sense. Like, it made sense, but you know, the last thing you want to hear is you got to finish that cereal before you can get new cereal. And back then they had the little toy in there. You remember when they had the little toy? Yeah. Once you got the toy, the cereal's dead. Dead, who cares? But to kind of instill in our children now, it's just like, bro, you can get whatever you want once it's within the budget that you've got to work with. You understand? So you want cereal, you want Chris, you want chocolate spread, you want, you understand? And it's going to be one of them things that where you can get that and that today, and when your budget comes around next week, you can get that, you know. So that is a very, very, very good way of getting them involved from early. Definitely.
Yeah, there's a loads of things that we can start doing just to introduce their money principles to our young people, so they don't fall into pitfalls that some of us have done as adults. So yeah. That's one thing that I like to do when I teach financial management and things like that, is breaking negative generational cycles that we have, that we can pass on good financial skills and habits to the next generation that they're able to build upon as well.
Awesome. Do you also help people get out of some of those pitfalls?
Yes. So I do debt management as well, because it's all a mindset. Sometimes you can get out of debt, but if it ain't changed, you can go fall straight back where you came from, because you've still got the same habits. So you have to change the mindset alongside certain habits that you have as well.
Awesome. So how can people get like a hold of you and find out whatever financial advice that you have to offer for them?
Okay, so I'm on social media, so Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and my handle is You4Us, that's Y-O-U, the number for us. You4Us means, that's my business name, because I believe when you are in your best place mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, it impacts the us. The us being your children, your family members, your peers, and ultimately the wider community. So you can connect with me via Instagram. I'm more active on Instagram, I think. So you can connect with me there. And I've got a lot of online programs that I do, because we don't like to talk about finances. So I've created online programs, but I do a lot of lectures to make it a bit more, let us be a bit more open in regards to talking about our finances, especially if we need help. Because a lot of us suffer in silence, and we end up going into a spiral that we feel like we can never come out of.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Whoa. We got a couple more minutes. Okay.
Paula.
Go.
Semi.
Paula. Sorry, yes, I was trying to munch real quick. so that I can give the people the good energy, because I need energy. But
we need that Femi energy today.
Yeah, well, it's not even that deep. It's not gonna go there. No, it's not gonna go where you think it's gonna go. That's but we move.
On screen, it will be.
Why do people go back into debt? In your experience?
In my experience, is because they've not changed their habits. So, for
what type of habits lead to?
It might be their spending habits. It might be their mindset. It could be, you know, people may not feel. So for example, some people emotional spend, and they don't realize they're emotional.
What do you mean they're sad and they just buy bare things?
Yeah, yeah. Or something may happen, and you're using the credit cards. You know your payday loans, you're just used to a certain thing. It's all right. Let me give another example. It's like people winning a lottery. Some people have won the lottery numerous times and lose it all. Why is that? Because they've not learned to how to manage that money. They've not learned to how to use that money in a way that helps them create more money. They use it as just a spending. It's just a tool to be spent, where money is actually a tool to help you create more money. So when you have the right mindset, understanding of investing your money to create, for instance, passive income, you've got financial goals, you want to leave financial legacies, you want to, you have a different aspect, then you use your money in a different way as well.
One of the things that I remember hearing when I was growing up all the time, and I think this didn't serve me well, was to save. Yeah, and it's weird for some people. Like, I'm not a good, I want to say I'm not a good saver, but, you know, it's just like, yeah, save your money, save your money, save your money. What for?
Mm.
What for? And I think right now I'm of the mindset of, you know, no, don't save your money, invest your money so your money makes money, you know, because all I'm doing is just like, oh, yeah, today I got £500. Now it's 550. Now it's six. Now it's 650. We've no intention of doing anything with that piece. Just so I'm going to dip into it. Whereas, you know, even with the little idiot piece of cryptocurrency that I have, I look at it and I see it growing. But because it's over there, and it's more than withdrawing from that bank account into this bank account. You know, because it's more headache than that, it just stays there. Because there's many times I could have drawn for it for various different things. Do you know what I mean? But the fact that it's a bit harder for me to get to is probably why it's still there. Also, you know, knowing that it is a long game, it is going to make me a lot more money than I've invested, hopefully, at that time. Well, when time comes for me to use it. So for me, it's like Casale Victor's first house or private school fund, you know, something that's like, yeah, that's going to be, you know, for that rather than just man just saving for whatever reason.
I think you need a mixture. I think at the moment, interest rates are so low that it's kind of like feels pointless saving. And like actually, it's been so low for so long that people are taking riskier and riskier ways of investing their money, such as, like, you know, the crypto. I reckon that's a massive part of why crypto is so popular. I reckon that's a massive part of why, even though we're in a pandemic, loads of people are buying stocks and shares, because like actually interest rates are so low, it kind of desensitizes people from saving their money. Like, whereas back in the day, maybe like your parents' day, interest rates were higher, and so it made sense to save your money, because like if you put that £10 in a bank, it might have been by the end of the month, like, I don't know, maybe not by the end of the month, but £12, you know what I mean? So it made more sense back then. So I just feel like you need to do a mix, and also you need to adjust, like, you need to adjust to the times and, like, you know, stay read up about money. But like you said, like, you know, money is a means to attain wealth. Money is not an end in itself. Whereas, like, I feel like in the Black community, a lot of us, it's been like, oh, I just want to make this money, man. Like, everyone's always talking about making money in the Black community. Like, I've got like white friends, Chinese friends, I've got friends from all different really, like, but in the Black community, everyone's obsessed. Like, how much money has Jay-Z made? How much money have you made? How much money? It's all about making money. Whereas actually people don't realize that making money is not an end in itself. Like, I want to make money to do what with it? I want to make money to do this. I want to make money to do that. And that needs to be the new mentality, I think.
Yeah. And I feel like, adding on to that, I feel like it's about making money, or instead of making money, you want to be in a position to start building assets.
Mm.
So those assets that make the money for you passively, that gives you back your time. So for example, Jay-Z, if you look at Jay-Z's wealth circle, he's got assets in a number of things, whether it's property, whether it's art, whether it's, you know, his music platform, number of different types of wealth generating things that he has. It's not just in one stream. It's diversified. He has a number of different things that he's tapped into, and then over the years that has built up to help him create his wealth. So it's about building assets. And some of us feel like, oh, assets, I'm never going to be able to own an asset. But even thinking about that, some of the things that are just around us could be assets that bring in passive income. And for example, you may have a drive outside your house that you haven't got a car. You could be using that as an asset that people use your drive as parking in the area, for example. You know, storage space. Storage space people need. And you could be using, you know, your garage, renting it out to somebody else for storage space. So there's different things that we make, that, and those are just simple things, but those are asset generating things that you could be generating some passive income for yourself, for example.
Well, before we kick you off, Paula, can we just quickly talk about your second book that you released?
Yes.
You know what's funny? You've
been on the first one and I've got my second one here. Yes.
Okay, you know what's funny? We don't have one of those books though, Paula.
Right, I'll have to send you guys one. Definitely. Okay. So we've published our second book, 30 Black History Icons, and it's 500 years of global Black influences. So from the UK, US, Europe, Caribbean, India. And it showcases, you know, how people have been very successful over the last 500 years, despite enslavement, despite Jim Crow laws, despite all these different things, that they have been very, very successful. So this is another book leading on from Black British history, which we're really, really proud of as well.
Let's see it. And where can we get this? Do we get in contact with you on the gram also to get hold of this?
Yes, you can get it direct from me. It's best to get direct from me, because then you can get it signed.
Go on.
Then you can get it signed as well.
Okay. Is there anything else?
I know you guys are running out of time now, so we didn't really get to speak about the personal protection stuff that I do. So I can try and come on another time. But I'm also
let's go.
Oh, okay. So I'm a financial advisor as well that specializes in personal protection. I've been trained and qualified since 2019. And the reason why I got trained and qualified to do this is in 2019, my younger sister had a stroke and had to have major brain surgery without any insurance in place. So that made me get trained and qualified so I can give the guidance back out to my community on the importance of different types of insurances. Now, I'm sure most people just know about life insurance, which is important, but there's a number of different insurances that protect and safeguard ourselves and safeguard our children as well, like income protection, critical illness cover, and things like that. So I think these things are really, really important to have information about and be educated about in order to have these things in place, because I know it's like a hard subject to talk about sometimes, like life insurance, things like that, but it's even harder for our families that may have to go to the internet to generate money if something was to happen to us as well. So I think that's really, really crucial. And I give free advice and guidance out, free consultations, just to give individual services to everybody's individual circumstances as well.
I think what I want to do, Paula, we've spoken about doing this for years, you know, and we're here now. So I think what we need to do definitely before the year is up is set up a, you know, just a little meeting with whoever wants to come and sit down and speak to you about, you know, personal protection and everything that comes under that umbrella. Because, you know, just to break it down for, I can't really see what's going on in the chat or whatever.
I've just seen someone, I think AC, I don't know who's mentioned it, but I saw a Miss Whiskey asked if it's the same as PPA. No, personal protection is something that's in place that protects you and your family if you have children or yourself. So for example, if you had income protection and you were off work and your workplace didn't pay you sick pay, your income protection would kick in and provide you with an income until you went back to work. So that's one of the products that are out there. Critical illness cover is a policy that if you were diagnosed with a critical illness, there's over 50 different definitions, but the key things are included. So things to do with like heart attacks, strokes, anything to do with your major organs, multiple sclerosis, there's a number of different things that are classified as a critical illness, you would receive a lump sum tax-free payment that allows you to focus on your health as opposed to thinking about the bills and running back out to work early because you need to get back to work. So just things like that as well. Sorry to cut you, Damon.
That's fine. I mean, so many people don't know about this, and I didn't know about this. Because everybody knows is life insurance.
Yeah.
But these things are there in case something happens to you and you don't die.
And you most people feel like sometimes like, oh, it's expensive or, you know, is it worth it? And everything is relative to what's important to you. Okay. So sometimes it's not about is it expensive. You can have something in place that's £10 a month, for example. All right. It may not give you the full cover that you need, but I always believe it's better having something than nothing.
How I've explained this to my friends and customers in the barbershop, yeah, is the majority of us have Sky. Yeah. And that Sky bill is between £40 and £80 a month. Now, you're paying £40 and £80 a month. Sky does nothing for you.
Right.
But probably, if anything, distracts you from what you should be doing. Yeah. Whereas that £40 to £80 a month will protect you and possibly your family. You know, because as I said, like you said your story, Paula. I experienced firsthand, you know, a close member of my family becoming very, very ill, and her workplace just totally shedding her, and the whole family had to do a madness to pull together just to pay the mortgage and just to pay the bills. And this is what these things are set up for, you know, that you're not stressed, you know, whilst you're recovering, and you know, you could be off work for up to a couple of years, you know. But the good thing about these things is these things kick in, some of these things kick in after you've been off work for like 2 weeks.
Yes.
Then, yes, you know, these things kick in and people have got mortgage and rent to pay, car payments to pay, you know, car insurance, you know, all of these kind of things that, you know, would you could handle very easily.
Yeah. I just had someone in the chat, Damon, that asked, if you're under the age of 30, do you need life insurance?
Can I answer that?
The answer to that would be yes. If you don't, yeah, if you, okay, go on then.
No, I was going to say, from your breathing, you need life insurance. You're going to stop breathing at some point, yeah, and you don't know when that's going to be. We hear tragic stories all the time, all of the time. You know, I think we just assume that we're going to make it to your 80s and your 90s and whatever. Listen, I think more so, if you've got people that depend on you, if you've got children, yeah, or if you've got siblings, you know, for the price that you're going to pay for life insurance on its own, you probably spend 10 times that on takeaway food and drinks or whatever else during your week, let alone all of the other things that you spoke about, Paula. So
and a good thing, the younger you are, the more cheaper it is for you as well. You lock in that price right up until your older age. It's when we get older, and you get past a certain age, you'll start being looked at as a bit more at risk. You're not, you know, your cells ain't rejuvenated all the time. So the younger you have it, the better actual deals that you actually have, and lock in a premium that is the same price until you are older as well.
Right. I think what we need to do is definitely, you know, as I said, me and you spoke about this for years,
yeah,
but we could, you know, we need to organize just a live session. And it's not even like, it's not like a live podcast, but we just post up at a venue, whether it be the barbershop or just a venue that we could accommodate whoever wants to come, and we just fire questions at you, and we can sign up to whatever life insurance, critical illness cover, there on the spot, you know. So we will organize this. We will get a date. We will get a venue, and, you know, people can come down, speak to you directly, see what offers there are, and you can help. Mm-hmm. Hopefully every one of the listeners today get their financial health
in play. And definitely just two things to add to that, Dee, is that, like, for example, critical illness cover, your children are automatically covered under your policy. That's important as well. I don't know if anyone saw the young lady recently, she's 23, was diagnosed with cancer, and she was doing a crowdfunding to have treatment. If she had a policy in place, there wouldn't have had to been any crowdfunding, because her policy would have paid out, and that could have paid for a treatment as well. So it's like just safeguarding yourself as well. I don't know if anyone's read, BBC had a article out recently that there's over 4.something million people that are not being able to, just from the pandemic, not being able to see for routine checkups and routine procedures. So there's a lot of delays in people being seen or diagnosed with conditions due to the current pandemic as well.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. Still awake over there, eh? Still awake?
I am.
A little man's grown his hair, isn't he? Oh my gosh, look. Wow.
How you doing, Paula? You're right.
I'm Rasta good, man, thank you. Yeah. Rasta man, you look silly. All right. I like it. I like it.
All right. Apologies for me being late, guys. I really do apologize. Sorry. I'll explain later on.
Okay. All right. Right. Are we cracking on to that? Thank you very much, Paula, for landing. It's been long overdue.
Thanks, Paul.
And we'll get this thing sorted out, and we'll let the listeners know.
Definitely. If anyone wants to get in touch, complimentary consultations, just hit me up on any social media. That'll be fine.
Wow. Okay.
Thank you very much for joining us.
You're most welcome. Thank you for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Thanks, Paula. God bless.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Hey. What are we on now? Where are we going now?
First, I want Lee. Do you want to tell us why you were late?
Do I really want to?
You sound like you're at a party, by the way.
I'm at a dinner.
Oh, are you?
I'm at a dinner for one of my best friends that's a female. Imagine that. And that was a topic last week, that man and woman can't be friends.
Exactly.
And I'm at one of my female best friend's dinner. And the door got left open, and the Frenchie went missing. See, I'm not an animal, man. As you lot will know. But certain times when animals go missing, like a dog at the front door, if you would think that a baby went missing. You know, one of them ones. I don't know. You might want to know. Damon's the only one I know that's got a dog, had a dog before. So once the dog had went missing, it was anarchy in this house. So, so we were just spending a long time. Look, let me tell you, you know what? I need to show you something. See where I am? The kitchen is so pain. Let me show you the kitchen. Can you not see my camera?
Yeah.
Let me flip it for you. So you cook here, and then we all sit here. Right. And then we enjoy the food.
Enjoyment.
Like you're in Benihana's.
One.
This is what I was eating today. This is leftovers. Can you see that?
We don't want to see that.
Sorry, it's not that. It's not the food that certain man in this group like. But
Femi, can you step in front of the congregation, please?
Femi, where is Femi? Why has he gone missing for? So hold on a minute. I just can't. Right, I'm here now. Let's talk about the man that Damon said he would body.
I said what?
Damon
said Damon said he was going to body him for one reason, because he knew something that we never knew.
Damon said he was going to punch Noel Clark in the face. It's so interesting. Yes. Like,
Yes. So you obviously clearly knew, you're a good judge of character because you knew something that we didn't know.
Femi.
Without getting Femi into trouble, because Femi has got nothing to do with this conversation.
Femi's got nothing to do with this conversation.
Nothing to do with this conversation.
But hey, because you're a radio presenter, you're trying to do that radio presenter thing on me where you're talking up about stuff that has nothing to do with me.
Oh, no, Femi, don't do that. Femi, don't do that. Don't do that. Can I say something, Femi? Before I'm Ace One Extra, I'm your boy, you know? I'm your brother.
Yeah, you get what I'm saying? He forgot that. He absolutely forgot that. The truth is,
yeah, you have a history of no, so people would want to know what you had to say, I lie? Let me tell you something right now. If Viz came up with charges, my phone would be popping.
Well, my phone was also popping.
Exactly. So you can't say that I'm doing the radio DJ thing.
Wait, are you giving us inside information?
No, man. No, Viz has got no charge. Don't try that. I feel offended that you think I'm trying to get points off you.
Look,
I'm just joking. Sorry.
Okay, let's do this properly. So, Ace, what's happened in the last week with Noel Clark?
So, in the last week, some allegations have come out against Noel Clark. The Guardian wrote an expose that has 20, I repeat, 20 accusers of Noel Clark, citing everything from bullying to harassment to groping. As a result of that, BAFTA has suspended his... What if they suspended him?
They gave him an award.
They've suspended anything that he has to do with BAFTA. ITV took off his TV shows. Mandem stepped away from him. Everyone's just like, nah, like I don't want nothing to do with him. And it's just looking really bad for the guy. Looking extremely bad for the guy. And yes. And yeah, I don't like, and obviously, like, we're on this podcast with Femi. We've had various different conversations. We've had so many different conversations. I feel like Noel Clark has been at least 4% of the content of this podcast. Like, there's been various cut the chat moments for some strange reason. It was a moment.
Let's get it right. Let's settle it where we are and now as cut the chat team. Okay. Yeah, how many of us saying guilty?
No, I can't. I'm not allowed to do that.
Why can't
you? We're not even allowed to do that.
Tell us what you think, because you don't give a shit. You already told you're going to punch him up anyway.
You know what I think? You know what I honestly think? And if this is going to sound a bit cliche, I don't know what superhero said it. I don't know if it was Batman or Iron Man or whatever. But there's that saying, with great power comes great responsibility. And that's, I think
it's actually Spider-Man, which is a media superhero.
Even when the statement is, you know, holds power.
Did you say medium or media?
Mediocre.
Spider-Man is not how is Spider-Man a mediocre superhero? Are you all right, fam?
Spider is me.
He's a teenager. Crazy, he's even grown.
He's a teenager, bro. He's not a man.
How is Spider-Man? Spider-Man.
Spider-Man's
he's only had one thing. He's only had one thing.
You lot are mad.
Spider-Man's mad.
Wait.
Hey, you're saying Spider-Man is a mediocre character?
Yes, bro.
All we know, he's still a virgin.
You are mad, bro. There's so many layers. There's so many layers to this. You don't even get it, bro.
I think Venom's got more power than him because Venom's got a poison in him. You hear me?
Whatever.
Spider-Man is meaty, bro. It's
anyway,
he's a superhero.
Weinstein, I mean, no Clark. Let's go. What are you saying?
Whoa.
It was actually that was a slip of the tongue. Go on.
Yeah. Me personally, that's what I think. I think you know, he was in a position of power, and that power grew as his companies grew and all of that kind of stuff. And I think he just started to abuse it, you know. And
you know what I think? Hold on.
For him, yeah, he's no, you know, it's just one of them ones. It's like criminals. It's like if you're a drug dealer or a thief or whatever, you only stop when you get caught. Do you know what I mean? Like, he knows what he was doing was wrong. He blatantly knows what he was doing was wrong, but you do things believing that you're going to get away with it. So you pick and choose who you're going to accidentally pass in the office or whatever. With him, you was the main man. It was your, you know, TV companies or your productions, and
You know what I think, D? Do you know what I think? Honestly, I think he was in a position of power, yeah, which is fair enough. And I think that a lot of, like, even though 20 allegations come out, he probably had 60 or 80 that he was getting away with because it was, they were both in the contract of, oh, I need this job and I'll do what I need to do to get to this job. And this is my theory behind it. It don't have to be right. I'm just saying how I think. And I think somewhere along the lines got blurred to where he thought, for example, I've been in a situation where I've been a judge on a panel and a girl's come up to me and said, oh, who's the one I need to make nice to get this job? I've had this before. I've seen it with my own eyes. This is not no bullshit. And I think, like I said, somewhere along the lines got blurred and he felt like he got too comfortable with that power and used it on the wrong type of people. It's not power, because that sounds wrong as well. But if you, do you get what I'm saying?
Everything you just said.
Do you know what it's like? It's like you being a celebrity, yeah?
Yeah.
And girls putting it at you in a nightclub, yeah? Yeah. And you're like, all right, they're only putting them because I'm who I am. Yeah? More time, it is because of that. But other times, they're generally being nice. They're just being nice. But you're thinking, okay, they want more. And I think that's where the lines got blurred.
No.
Do you get what I mean?
I hear what you're saying. I don't agree.
He's a sex predator. Do you think he's actually...
Yeah, well, from some of the things that we're hearing, they're not normal. Like, yes, there are people that use their power or their position of influence to I don't know, sleep with women or like get with girls. That's one thing. But then, like, there's some of the things that are alleged, yeah, are not normal. Like,
can we say what's been alleged? Because it's out.
Like naked castings and filming people while they're like all of these, some of the things that are alleged are not normal. That's not just you using your fame and your power to get pum. That's like something else. You're feeding some next type of sexual desires. Again, these things are alleged. I'm not saying that he did or didn't.
But when we're talking about the things, is anything that that's against him, can it stick yet? Do you think it can stick?
Well, that's something that I've been saying, because I think like...
I think that's the problem, right? Yeah. Obviously, there's been all these allegations and like, I have no reason to doubt, like, you know, question like 20 women, whether they're lying or not and all of that stuff. I think that's like... You know, that's for the police to investigate. Do you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's not my job. But like, obviously, you have to take people at face value. I believe people until proven to be liars. Call me naive. Like, you know, if you tell me something, I have no reason to question to say you're lying. And so ultimately, like, you know, we have to like, obviously, while guys were talking about this, we have to be like, you know, considerate of the fact that, you know, as men, we're in a position of privilege and power as men in the world, right? Like going out in the world as men day in, day out, we are in a weird sort of, we have privilege because we're men.
Yeah.
There's male privilege. There's such a thing as male privilege. And so at the same time, so for us, I just feel like we, in terms of the women, like I hope they get the help and the support that they need. In terms of like whether it's true or not, which is what everyone's been asking me all week, how am I supposed to know? I've not worked with no clerk for over a decade. Like, I don't know. Like, do you get what I'm saying? You're going to have to like wait for the police investigation. You're going to have to wait for maybe, you know, clerk to say, yeah, I did those things. You're going to have to wait for, I don't know. Like,
can I ask you two questions? There's two questions I want to ask you.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first question is completely nothing to do with the situation. If someone, I just want to ask you this. If someone is in a series, yeah, or a film, yeah, but it's just their picture being used, do they get paid? It's a random question. So, for example, you had a film about someone getting murdered, yeah? And it was and you always use my face as the person got murdered. Do I get paid for that?
You don't necessarily get paid, but they need your permission.
But I'm saying, yeah, they probably have my permission because I'm an actor. But I don't get paid.
How much wine did you drink for dinner?
I'm so confused by your question.
How much?
That was one question. The second question is, Femi, if you're working with a big director, yeah, and I'm talking about, what's his name? Jurassic Park. What's his name again? Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're working with him and you know, and you see certain things go on in, yeah. Do you quit the set? Do you quit the set because you're like, I don't like the way things are going? Or do you like, you know what? I'm not going to be in a room when things are happening. Or said, not directly saying that you're seeing something, but you kind of heard rumors, people spoke, you're on working with this type of person. What do you do in that situation? Just be real, though. Just be real.
I don't get your question.
What I'm saying to you,
how much do you drink for dinner?
If you're with Spielberg, yeah. No, because I think
just do the note. Keep it no clock. Let's just say no clock.
All right. You're working with no clock, yeah? And you know that these things are happening. You've heard it. These things are happening. On set.
Are you asking what Femi would do or just what...
I'm also asking... Because you know what? I'll be honest with you. And I think... And I don't know. I'm not going to say Femi, but I think a lot of people, if that's the case, people around no clock should have known what it was about. If he was right. going so, in like so that.
What you're so saying,
they're the people that should be speaking up, innit?
What you're like the saying...
people that are working around.
Yeah, but we've had this conversation before when it comes to, you know...
Damon, if you get done for something, as your boy, and not your boy, I would know... What I'd be like, listen, I know Damon. I've been around him a long time. I'm stepping up and saying, that's all bullshit.
Yeah, but Lee.
Because Damon's not like that.
So what are you saying? Because no one stepped up to say that it's all bullshit, then bro,
that's the problem. That's the problem, though.
All right, Lee.
But people need to build up the courage to
Lee.
To
no, but Femi, let me tell you something, Femi. See how you are now, yeah? And you're a filmmaker, whatever. If something happened to you, I'll be the first person to say, you know what? Nah, I can't see Femi doing that. Like, I would have to speak. I haven't heard no one speaking up saying anything.
I agree, but this is the thing, though. This is the thing, yeah. Like, you lot are the closest people outside of my direct family in my life, yeah, 100%. So, you know, I would back you, man, to the hills and back. You understand what I'm saying? But the reality is, I don't know what Femi does on his film set. I don't know what Ace does in that Radio on Extra. I don't know what you do when you're driving your black taxi. If I hear a room, I'll be like, what? Lee? Miley? Nah, I doubt that, but I'm not there. That's the reality. I'm not there. And the reality is, very much like all of these cases in the past, especially R. Kelly, so many people turned a blind eye because they wanted to secure the
Damon. Back. Damon, sometimes people know Wagwan. We all know Wagwan. We all know that certain people around us aren't good. And some people are bad. Some people are good. We know Wagwan. We can't be in denial about it. We know the man that shot food. We know the man. You know the man that come into the barbers and sell heroin. You know them man there. It's not that your business to talk about their thing, but you know who they are. Do you get what I'm saying?
So what's your point? I don't understand your point, though.
What my point is, if you know these allocations, yeah, against some certain people,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? You would say something, no? You would step up and say, nah.
I'll back it. Lee,
I'll
not everyone's like that, and it's been proven over the years, which is why these things keep on happening time and time again. Because it's people being in a position of power, knowing that I'm the person that pays your wage. I'm the person that is making sure you're eating for the next couple months. I know you're not going to say nothing. Do you know what I mean? Right. Also,
if the ship is going down.
I think we're getting sidetracked. I think the point is this thing has happened, right? And I think, at the moment, we have no reason to question the women and their authenticity of their story.
100%.
And because of that, obviously, like I said before, we have to accept that, you know, what No Clark is getting at the moment, he deserves it because of that. And then until the police or someone proves otherwise...
Is there anyone coming back, though, Femi? Be honest. Is there any? I don't see you come. I can't see anyone coming back from this type of thing. Anyway, 20 allegations. How the hell do you shake that off and carry on making films and everything go back to normal?
In his own words, he told me he's not coming. He said that's it. It's a wrap.
Of course. Well, that's.
What do you mean? He
it's
said
a wrap. It's a wrap.
What do you mean? He said in his own words. He said it was a wrap.
No, because in essence, like you know, like just think about. In terms of where it's at now, yeah,
mm-hmm.
How's he gonna come back from this situation?
How? He can't.
And in the article, they talk about the fact that Jason Mazza, his business partner, like was calling people and saying, like, it's done, it's a wrap for us. If this comes out, it's a wrap, blah blah blah. I couldn't even read it, like, you know, there's no point even like. Let me not.
It's all common knowledge.
No, but let me not use the wrong words, like, because I don't want to like add, you know,
Maggie sauce to it.
Seasoning. Because what got said is by his business partner is like, that's Unstoppable done. That's their company called Unstoppable. You know. That's me for the short term done. That's his business partner. Says that, I mean, we know no 100% has done things where he needs to put his hand up for, which is what his business partner said. And which is what leads you to believe it's all true, right? As well. Further authenticates what the claims are. And he has been inappropriate at times, which again, further authenticates the claim. Because like, if your business partner is saying that, then it makes it seem like maybe like, you know, they're trying to hide stuff. And whatever, and then he goes on to say, he goes on to offer a woman an in-person meeting with No. If you want that sit down at any point with No, whether it's with lawyers there or me there, whatever you want for him to apologize, I know he will. I know he will do that. He goes on to add that No has spent lots of money on a private investigator. The money he's already spent is just insane. And then
a private investigator for what? What
to find out where these claims are coming from.
Oh, okay.
And then he goes on to call another woman, telling a woman that he and Noel Clark on the 12th of April were under the impression that the story had gone away. He sounded relieved. Obviously, this article hasn't broken in The Guardian and it won't run in The Guardian now, he said, adding, as far as we're concerned, the thing has now gone away as much as Noel can do in his power. That's what it says in the article. But yeah, just to add, like, you know, like, obviously, like, there's someone in the group asking mad questions about, oh, my friends with No, do I know this person? Why didn't I really speak to No, blah, blah, blah. Like, if you're a Cut the Chat fan, you know, like, it's played out over the years. Like, you know, there's been really the first real reason me and Noel Clark didn't have much of a relationship was Noel Clark fell out with Adam Deacon. I was closer to Adam Deacon. So in a way, I ended up, like, being in that thing with Adam Deacon, right? And even though I wasn't really involved in their beef, like I ended up being like sort of dragged into it because I had a closer relationship with Adam Deacon. And then after that, you know, I think we've had like small arguments over the years where, you know, he's maybe said stuff to me and I've like checked him, like literally checked him on Twitter, on the phone call. And it was like all like he said stuff behind my back about me to other people. And it's got back to me and I've checked him because I'm that type of person. If you say anything about me, I will call you. Like, oh, I'm not going to speak to Ace and speak to, I'm not going to begrudge you. I'm going to like confront you about it. And so like, you know, there was that reason why we fell out. And like, to be fair, about a year and a bit ago, like maybe 2 years ago, me and him were like, you know what? Like, it doesn't make sense keeping on like having these arguments as black men were in the industry, we're forging our own paths. Like maybe we shouldn't like have this, you know, sort of angst towards each other. And like, you know, we sort of have had an amicable relationship for like the past sort of 2-3 years maybe. But to be perfectly clear, I don't think Noel Clark would say that he's my friend or you like in the past since I'd go as far as like say in the past since we've been doing Cut the Chat, which is probably about 10 years now, like I've not been friends with Noel Clark. Like he's never met my kids, I've never met his kids, never been to my house, like, you know, but we decided to be amicable about 2-3 years ago. And like, you know, but in a way, because we went in each other's lives anyway, it didn't really make a difference to us. Do you know what I mean? Like we weren't working together, we just decided not to like badmouth each other. Right. do you know what I mean? So like, so it's so, and also like, you know, I got a phone call from the newspaper like to give a comment, but I didn't feel like well positioned to give a comment because like I have not worked with him for so long, like I've not done anything with him for so long, I don't really know him. And this was one of the things that we spoke about on Cut the Chat before as well. I was like, I don't even really know no clock. Like, we're not even friends like that. We did kidulthood together, then we did adulthood together. Then you got me to be an extra in 4-3-2-1. If you blinked, you missed me, literally. So, like, I've not really done that much work with him since I was 21 years old. So, like, how... And I'm 34 now, and I'm married and I've got kids. Like, do you get what I'm saying? I'm a different person. I don't really, like, the 21-year-old me looking at me now is, like, a completely different person. And I imagine Noel Clark's a completely different person. So I don't really know him to comment on any of this stuff. And, like, to be fair, as I said, like, the women, I wish it never happened. I wish they weren't put in that position. And I wish, like, you know, if they had the confidence to be able to go up and express themselves to an industry body. But for me, like, to sit here and say, like, make out like I had some inside information and people calling me and asking me, is it true and all of that, I think it's unfair on me because I don't even know any of these people. Like, I'm like the majority of them. Like, do you get what I'm saying? So unless it's like stories from kidulthood and adulthood, like where I was part of those projects and I didn't see anything happen on those projects, I'd like to add. Like, do you get what I'm saying? And like, Noel didn't direct kidulthood. And adulthood, I was on set for 5 days. Do you get what I'm saying? So like, I wasn't there like that. And I just came in, did my scenes and I left. So I don't really know. I didn't even go to the rap party for that film. I didn't even go to the cast and crew screening. And so like, you know, you can't, just cause all these things have happened doesn't mean then I need to start saying stuff and adding. With Adam Deacon, that's a completely different thing. And Adam has spoken about it over the years. So like everyone's all like, oh, but he bullied Adam Deacon. Yeah, maybe that's a completely different thing. That's like him and Adam's thing is well publicized. It's been in the news, has led to Adam Deacon going to court, as like, do you get what I'm saying? Like, you can read up about that till the cows come home. Like, and that's him and Adam. Do you get what I'm saying? Are people calling a melamine to say what? Do you get what I'm saying? Like, because it is odd that people think I'm close to Noel Clark. I think it's so odd.
I understand. It makes sense, though.
Yeah. Like, but do you get
what I'm saying? But I get why people will think that. And the thing is, people go to their first point of call or first point of reference. People don't understand that, you know, you've done a film how long ago and you haven't spoken since. People just think, you know, you're cool and you're both filmmakers, film directors, actors, you know.
Same industry. Like, do people just assume that you're...
No, I'll be honest. Like I said to you lot just a minute ago, we only decided not to be at each other's necks, right? And this, when I mean each other's necks, what's hilarious about it is that we just walked our own lanes. Do you get what I'm saying? I rarely saw him. Like, do you get what I'm saying? Like, we just walked our own paths. I think I might have seen him, like, I'm going on my Instagram. I might have seen him, like, trying to be really accurate with this, because I know, like, everyone's, like, trying to, like, get quotes and get moments and stuff. And when it's not really that, like, do you get what I'm saying?
But well, we get it. You know, not your guy, you haven't communicated like that. One of the things that I want to ask, and I know this has been kind of on, I know this has been important for you, Ace, for the last couple of years, you know, and sidetracking from the Noel thing. We're not disputing whether these allegations are true. We're not talking about anything like that. But what I am asking, and we might have spoken about this before, is this whole cancel culture and calling people out, and more so calling people out, like, do you think there should be something that stops people getting called out
until it's gone to court?
Lee? Yeah. Do you think there should be something that stops people getting called out until it goes to court or until there's a conviction? Because Lee, turn your thing down.
There you go. No, I'm on YouTube's on. Is it mine?
That's mine. Is it
off now?
Yeah, and I'm not talking about, you know, Noel thing, but over the last few years, we see people's names get dragged you know, and they're not going to court, there's no investigation by the police. And I'm not saying that, you know, they're totally innocent, but some of the things that people get dragged for, there is no coming back from. Whether it's true or not, people would just jump on the bandwagon. Everyone's like, yeah, cancel. Do you think there should be something that is set in place where man can get sued if you start calling out man's name for allegations?
I think there's a gift and a curse at social media cancellation.
Tell us why. Tell us more.
I think, like, there might be a situation where somebody needs to be outed on social media so everybody knows who this person actually is. Or so that gives other people the strength to stand up about what they've gone through with this person as well. Again, we're not talking about anybody. We're just talking about...
Yeah.
Yeah, so and sometimes I might not know about somebody that I'm either going to go and work with or sit down and... I might need to know, like, right, is this what this person's like? So I do feel like social media is good in that sense. But then, like you said, there's times when maybe the wrong people are getting cancelled. But I also do feel like, I might be wrong, but I do feel like people that stay cancelled are the ones that should be cancelled. I feel like when things happen, when it's like, maybe like not proven allegations or like things that have a shadow of a doubt, those people aren't necessarily cancelled. Those things blow over. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Don't know about that. I don't know about that. I think once your name is tarnished, your name is tarnished.
I don't agree.
I don't see you coming back unless the person says, you know what, I lied. So anyway, even then, people don't really want to mess with you.
Who's actually ever been successfully cancelled? Like, really, like, successfully? I'm saying successfully cancelled. Like, that person is done. No one bought R. Kelly. That's it. I'm talking about cancelled. Like
Wiley, done, like. Wiley's technically
cancelled. No, Wiley's cancelled.
Really, he's not really, though. Like, he's what off social...
Not really.
No, wait. He's off social media. He's off social media. And they've cancelled him from social media. But let's be honest, yeah? When we're all allowed outside, if Wiley wants to put on a show, people are going to come. If Wiley puts out music, people are going to buy it. So, like, yes, like, they've tried to stop him from social media, but he's not finished. Wiley is not public enemy number one. Wiley still has followers. R. Kelly doesn't have that.
No, wait.
You said R. Kelly ain't got followers.
Ace, do radio play Wiley?
Yeah.
They've got Wiley's records on their playlist.
Wiley hasn't put nothing out for us to be playing right now. But
no, you guys used to play his rhythms all the time. Why are you trying it?
No, listen, listen.
Are you allowed to play him? Yeah. R&B Sundays.
Why would I play Wiley on an R&B Sunday?
Why not?
That means it works. There's boxes, there's genres. My point is, Wiley's not banned from any type of playlist. Like,
I think Wiley's...
If I want to go in a mix with Wiley tomorrow, I can.
I think Wiley's cancelled.
I don't think he's cancelled. So you think Wiley can't come back?
I think
they're going to make it difficult for him.
I think it's going to be really hard for Wiley to come back.
But he's not cancelled. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't think he's...
I think he is. I really think he is. No. I really think Wiley is the closest that we've got to R. Kelly cancellation level in the UK.
You think?
Yeah, because Wiley doesn't have a platform. He doesn't have a voice. They're not playing his song on radio, allegedly because he doesn't have anything out now, even though they used to have him on their playlist ages ago. And so...
You people put things on a playlist when you put new music out. That's how it works.
No, sometimes...
You're not just going to put Eskimo on the playlist.
Sometimes tunes go on a playlist that are not new.
Nah, that's not how
it works. So basically, your playlist is just all new songs.
So the playlist is, there's an A, B, and C list. It's all of the current tunes at the moment. You might have an odd recurrent record from back in the day that he'll play, but it's not on a playlist. It's just like, we'll throw an old tune in. But our playlist is like new records, new records that are out this week. Yes, so, you throw like older records in there.
So on radio, they only play new songs.
On the playlist is only new songs, yeah.
Look, Femi just trying to get at you.
I don't know. Like, I haven't been told And I'll be honest, I haven't been told that I can't play white.
Your radio station, bro. Why are you getting into this with Ferry? Like, just you don't know.
I just don't think Wiley's cancelled. I feel like there's been an attempt to cancel Wiley, but I don't think he's cancelled.
I think he's cancelled, man.
But I think the difference is, yeah, the attempt to cancel Wiley was from those up here. We're talking about ground level cancelling. We're talking about ground level, you know. And something I said to you a while ago is I noticed when the whole thing that came out with Ambush, I've not heard a single one of his songs on the radio ever again since then. And, you know, is it a thing where no matter what you do, an apology doesn't wash? Because he did apologize. You've got, there's various other artists that have done Effery. Some have apologized, some haven't. And I think somebody just made the decision, nah, we're done in their dance. But, you know, slightly deviant. I mean, I get what you're saying. You know, I kind of agree with you that it does work in both ways. There is some good about social media and exposing people for the better of the culture and the rest of the community. And it might not necessarily be a court thing. You know, it might not be a court thing. And you don't always have to take it to court as a victim. That's your choice. You might not want to take it to court, but you might want people to know what this person has done and how it's affected your life and how it can possibly affect other people's life. And you shouldn't be forced to have to prosecute to get that point across. So social media lives on and the cancel culture lives on, I suppose. I've got an update on last week's relationship corner.
What? What happened? What's going on now?
You're not even going to believe this.
What was the corner again? What happened?
The guy's linking his brother's mum.
What's the update?
Oh, gosh.
The update.
The mum is pregnant.
Nah, nearly. The update is my man proposed to the mum.
Oh. I said it's real. At least we know it's real. It's not a side thing. It's not
what
a link
punch. You mean you think you can propose to my mom? You think what? You're getting punched out every day. Every day.
He's taking your mom seriously though.
Nah. He's mugging me off. He's mugging me off. That's no.
On it.
Nah. Cause you know why? You gotta think of it this way, yeah? If I propose to your mom, then I'm getting head off your mom. Just know that. Yeah, so how does that make you feel? How does that make you feel now?
If you're taking my mom seriously, then it's cool.
Oh, you don't mind me getting brain and dipping my ball bags in there and doing all the young man things?
What is wrong?
3, 4, 5 rounds.
Why did you just allow it, man? All right, can we go? It's late.
Send it to the kitchen to get my puff,
guys. I'll see you later. Yeah?
And orange juice and pepper stew. Don't get that, man. Move, man. I got to make phone calls. I got to text the man then.
You're a prick. You're actually a prick. You're a prick. Guys, till next week, we want you to rate, subscribe, and comment. We apologize for the lateness this week. And as of this week, we'll be back on SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts and however you listen to your podcasts. I apologize. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, quickly, is there an update on Auntie? Are you still working for
her? Yeah. No, I'm still working for her. When did I start working for her?
So she
mugs me off, innit? She mugged me off on Friday. She said to me to come and pick her up. I got there and she already had another cab driver. She mugged me.
Was he of Caucasian persuasion?
He was of Caucasian, proper Cockney. So this is how it panned it out. This is why I panned it out. She told him to wait outside the African shop. The one that you text me, actually, Femi.
Yeah.
In Dalston. And he said, fuck that, I ain't doing that. What are you on about? Pay me fucking money or I'm going. And I'm not talking about Ace's mum, because it's the same accent that Ace's mum has. But he was actually a cockney, yeah? She got bodied. Yeah, I was livid, by the way. So Friday, I've come back. I've driven all the way to her house, come back, and she phones me. She tried to be the sweetest woman I've ever met. Hello, are you okay? I'm like, you mugged me off. Don't try and come with that. She goes, I'm in Dawson. I would wait for you. How long will you be? I said, I'm eating my dinner. I said, I'll phone you back in an hour. An hour went by. She phoned me back. How was your dinner? You eating well? You are like a Nigerian man. You like to chop. I said, don't try and sweep me up. Don't try and sweep me up. She's nagging. Then I was thinking to myself, it's Friday. I could do with this guap for the weekend. I could do with this guap. So I said, all right, I'm going to come and pick you up. So when I picked her up now, I said, what you done was out of order. I'm proper telling her off. She goes, she proper came with the lyrics. Listen, no. When I met you, the reason why I selected you, she says she selected me. That's what she told me.
You got casted, rude boy.
Bro, the way she tried to do it, I'm telling you, I was like, you think I'm a mug, but I loved it. I selected you because I saw you give a beggar £5. And I said, look at your number in my phone. Kind black cab driver. I said, you.
She changed it before she got in the car, bro.
You know what I'm saying? I said, you pussy, yo. I was proper smiling like a bitch. Anyway, I dropped her home. She gave me double money just to say sorry. That was her way. Because she won't directly say sorry. She gave me double the money to sweep me.
Double.
I said, listen. Double the money, yeah, for the job. And because obviously she, remember, I've driven to her yard and come back. That's taken at least an hour of my time.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? So anyway, I said to her, listen, I'm not working this weekend. Phone me on Tuesday or Wednesday. So I'll wait for her to phone me tomorrow. If she don't, then our journey is up. But she's something else.
Me. Just answer this question honestly.
Go on.
Are you in her yard right now?
Kids.
I'm telling you. The funny thing is, everyone asks me to ask her bad questions, but I don't want to get shift, man. There's too much going on right now. I don't want it. Listen, I don't know where. I just don't want to know nothing. She don't know my name. I don't know her name. And that's it. We keep it. Do you get what I'm saying? Give me my readies. Let me go about my business.
She's the real queen of the South.
Proper. Mm-hmm. Proper.
You got to answer.
Well, I showed you a video of her anyway. We have to post it on the cut of chat. Yeah, let's not do that. Could not do that. We didn't ask her for permission.
Yeah, let's not mess up your bag, bro.
But I'm gonna ask her if I can record her for my friends. Okay. Then I get her permission, innit?
Don't fumble.
But yeah, no,
just let her live, bro. Don't record her. Yeah, Just let her live.
Let me not bait out my thing, innit? All I'm saying to you. All I can tell you, I've got a little inside information. I'm looking for property in Abuja. I'm looking for property in Abuja. She told me she bought bare land out there. You know that? She's like, yeah, I buy this and I buy a little land out there. I buy land here, I buy land there. I said, okay. I see what you're doing. She might be your next door neighbor for me.
Huh? So when we go to Nigeria next year, yeah, you got somewhere to stay already.
I got it patterned. I'm staying in a mansion. I don't know about you lot, but I'm staying in a mansion. I don't know how you lot are flexing. You know what? I wanted to phone you, Femi, you know that, and tell you to talk to her.
Well, you know what? We speak the same language.
Oh, yeah, she's Igbo, isn't it? You're Yoruba, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's
like French and English, bro.
I'll be honest with you. She won't respect you anyway.
No,
she's already told me. She's so rude about it as well. Nah, I don't. They are beneath me. I'm like, okay.
Listen, just keep nodding. As long as she keeps paying attention, like,
I'm listen, as long as she ain't asked me to bow and do all of them things there, that's cool. I'll do what she needs to do.
I'm not against her, man.
No, she's I'm still there. I'm still there at the moment. I'll give you another update this time next week.
All right. Hey, so we done? Is that it?
I think we're done. Massive shout out to bare listeners tonight. Everybody trying to get the tea. That's what happened. Massive shout out to everybody locked in.
We've got everyone that tune in. Like, I'm sorry if I disappointed you, but ultimately, like I said, like, I'm
no disappointment. What do you think they wanted to hear, bro?
No, like, I'm really like, you know, I'm like I said, like all of us should be like, as men, like, just mindful of the male privilege that we have going into the world and the fact that actually we're not subjected to like all level of like sexual harassment day in, day out. And so, like, you know, like to all the women, like, you know. That went through whatever they went through, apologies, and like, because there was a full spectrum of different things that the allegations were. And also, like, you know, we just need to, as men, move responsibly in our day-to-day life and make sure that the women around us feel safe and are well looked after.
Straight. In other words, man them do better.
Do better. And when you're playing Kiss Chase, Kiss the ugly ones as well.
I want to get.
I'm just joking.
I want to get joking. Good man.
I'm joking. They get the humor. We're just playing.
God, guys. Good night. God bless.